Hi, I'm Leah.
And I'm Brie.
And this is Bad Taste Book Club, where we talk about books that I read when I was 17.
Today we're reading The Warrior's Apprentice
by Lois McMaster-Bujold. So I read this book when I was very young, I think 17-ish, maybe even younger, and it's not the first book in this series. It's the second book and about fourth in terms of, like, chronological novelettes.
Well, it still felt like it could be a first book.
Yes, though. And at the end of my one, because it was an ebook, there's a suggested reading order, and there's like three suggested reading orders. This is where you kind of first get a feel for Miles, who's the main character for most of these books.
The best way to describe this is an old school fantasy sci-fi romp in space. It was originally published in 1986, and honestly that's all the history I know about this.
It was published in 1986, and it's the first book that was published, but not the first book that Lois wrote, and it basically is one of the best of those old school sci-fis that I've read. I really enjoy this series a lot. Your basic book world story is that his dad and is from a
military world with some colonial undertones, yes. Like most of them do.
And his dad went to invade his mum's planet and they fell in love. They, along with the new emperor, are trying to modernize this old military, like kind of English. There's an emperor, there's a, like, a very strict serf, like, lordship system, and when they decided to modernize, some people didn't like it and tried to bomb his parents with nerve gas. His parents were fine. His mother was pregnant with him at the time, and it turned out that it affected Miles, and Miles is now brittle boned and is a very short man. He's, I think, 5 foot is what they say in the in the book. And he lives on a world that is really anti what they call mutants. I guess there's some, like, horror stories in the background about, like, mutants that got killed at birth, and his granddad doesn't love him because he's a mutant by his standards. And so we come into this book where Miles is going to military school.
So he's passed, well, we don't know for sure, but we're pretty sure he's passed all the theory.
Because he's a smartass.
Absolutely, and it's the practical. Unfortunately, that doesn't go quite as well, because he does something reckless and dumb.
Yeah, and then breaks both of his legs.
That's how we're introduced to this character and the world that we're in. And I think it's a nice sort of tone setting for, like, what this kid's gonna be like.
Yes.
So he gets shipped home, and we sort of meet his family. His very grumpy grandfather, who's very bitter that the world is changing.
Yes, and is not a... He's not cruel, but he's clearly not a fan of Miles.
Yeah, he is... he reminds me a lot of one of my grandparents, to honest.
And his mother, who is a very sweet but forceful person.
I like his mom.
She's a woman in a strange place who makes the world conform to her, and it's very interesting to watch that dynamic.
Also, she could also be very, like, a timid sort of feminine character, but she's not. You can tell she's got a spine even in her brief appearance in this book.
Yeah.
And similarly, his father, it would be very easy for this very important war hero dad to have a very distant relationship to his son. And instead, his dad is very good and kind, and they have a good relationship.
Yeah, and I actually really like that. I think turning that stern military father trope on its head is just one of the very delightful head trope turnings that happen in this book.
Yeah, I think that was the point when I realised that this book was definitely going to do some things I liked. Yeah. When I realised that we weren't buying into this very toxic masculinity idea of how, like, fathers and sons should interact.
Yeah, there's a moment where Miles mentions that his dad used to come home on his lunch break to play with his little son, and how wonderful those memories were for Miles, and it just warmed my heart. I thought it was really sweet.
Yeah, it was nice. So, from there, we have a setup. He decides to go visit his mum, his grandmother, his mum's mother back in her homeland. And he takes his childhood best friend, Alina, with him, and his bodyguard,
Bathari. So Bathari is his bodyguard and Alina is his bodyguard's daughter. But because of the way that he's grown up with a bodyguard his whole life, essentially Alina's part of the family. Like, his mum thinks of her as her daughter. Bathari is very intensely into this idea that his daughter is going to be this perfect
Everything
woman.
Has to be done by the book. He's saving for a dowry for her, and, like, he wants to get her a good marriage that's very in line with the social standing and so on. And you definitely get the impression it's coming out of a place of love, but it is also confining her to some very rigid expectations.
Which she's not into at all, which is why she's on this holiday to a planet with different expectations. The other planet we go to is the Beaten planet. Beaten have three genders.
Yeah, they're also sound like very much freewheeling hippies.
Yes, or everybody gets a implant when they turn 14, I think.
I think it's for the women, I think it's when they get their first period.
Right, yes.
They get contraception and then their ears pierced, and that's generally a sign that you're of age.
For whatever shenanigans you want to get up to, and nobody cares.
And there's very, like, they're very open about sexuality and sex. Yes. And there's, like, sex toys and stuff on display in one of the markets and so on.
Yeah, so just a heads up at this point, that while I think this book does a really good job of having some ideas that you would maybe not think were common at the time, it does use very 80s language. So the third gender I referred to as hermaphrodite. And they do use it pronouns.
Mm.
So I still think it's worth reading.
So it's definitely feels like a difference in language, because the language that they have, even though these concepts were definitely around in the 80s, the language was a lot less like what it is now. What we've settled as appropriate pronouns and language universally was not a set standard back in the 80s. While these words are definitely not PC or, like, appropriate within our standards, the way the actual characters are handled is.
Yes.
They're generally not looked down on, they're generally not seen as, like, a fetishized sort of
or
person.
Different,
or
really.
Different. We do have someone who goes third gender pronouns and is not a man or a woman in one of the crews that pops up later.
Yeah, in fact, a captain.
You're treated very matter-of-factory, and, like, there is kind of the implication that within Miles' culture, yeah, there might be a bit of stigma because it's not their culture, but within the Beaten culture, it's just perfectly normal, and it's never really acknowledged or called out, except for the fact that it is different from Miles. Yeah, and, like, just in general, like, some of the language in this book is absolutely very old-fashioned, especially around, like, Miles's disability. None of it is particularly, like, ableist in, like, a shitty way, but it is definitely
language-wise,
you are reading a book from the 1980s, and I think it is worth noting that what we deem acceptable terms are not really available for this author to use at that time.
I do really like the main character is not an able-bodied person, and that he finds a niche where he fits pretty quickly in terms of the plot.
Within, like, 10 minutes of landing on this planet, he gets himself into trouble. And honestly, I feel for his bodyguard so much, because you do get the impression that this happens all the time.
I feel like his eyes must be almost permanently rolled.
He's just like, I left you for 5 minutes, you've got yourself involved in a conflict, and you've
with
taken...
With bombs,
and you've taken on, like, another person who you promise you've sworn in as, like, one of your...
Bondsmen,
and, like, I just can't leave you alone anywhere.
It's pretty great. And there's also the added issue of the fact that he's involved Alina in his shenanigans.
Absolutely. It is worth noting that even though Alina has been raised by a very conservative father, you get the impression that she's been taught how to fight.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. Her very conservative father was looking after Miles this whole time, and she was hanging out with Miles's not very conservative mother.
So definitely had a taste of what she could do.
Yeah.
And she's just very peeved that society won't allow her to do it.
Yeah, and her dad won't let her either, which is very annoying for her.
It does seem very easy to manipulate, though, based on this book.
True, true. Basically, yeah, space adventures ensue. They become essentially gunrunners.
And accidentally obtain a mercenary army.
Yeah, as you do.
As you do. It's great. I think the core tenet to Miles' entire life is fake it until you make it.
Because he's my favourite bullshitter.
Yeah, he just spends a lot of time pretending that he is simultaneously less and more important than he actually is, which is just delightful.
So he goes by his mother's last name, which is a thing because his granddad didn't want to give him his last name. So he's basically like, you don't want to give me your last name? Fine. My mom is awesome and I'm going by her name literally everywhere in the world.
Which is great.
He picks up strays basically from day one.
Yeah, from like 10 seconds in on world.
So he picks up a pilot and a commander who deserted, which is a big deal on his planet.
It's worth noting that this is definitely like a war fantasy setting in space. However, I do think it does a fairly good job of not spending too much time going on about how great war is and being very real about some of the consequences of having so much war.
I really actually like how these colonial forces are not treated as... Because we've read quite a few books now that have even, like, sci-fi and fantasy, where they've been like... Yeah, we're the colonials and we're good. Apparently I can say that word now. Who knows?
Yeah, we've definitely encountered a few where, like, there's been no examination of what this allegory for England invading a foreign land actually means.
Yes, yeah, like, whereas this book very much understands. I do think it's really interesting that they talk about it from both a very personal point of view, like there is an issue later that's very personal, and also how much the rest of the solar system
has to deal with their bullshit.
Yeah, hates them and doesn't want to deal with their shit. I also think it's really interesting because Miles, throughout the story, he'd never really examined what it was to be from his own culture. And so throughout this book, he keeps on running into situations where he's like, oh, no, that's only a thing where I live. I think it's really cool that they talk about, like, what a culture shock it is to go from, like, a very rigid society to basically making it up as you go along. I think it does a really good job of, because I'm not a huge hard sci-fi fan, I think it does a really good job of being like, space, but also you don't care about how the ships work. Nobody gives a shit. They get from A to B.
I'm much less of a sci-fi person. I think I've only really just realised this. I love sci-fi as a visual medium. I just find I don't read it so well. The whole time I was reading it, I'm like, this would make a very fun, very camp, like, movie or TV series.
I'm actually really sad it hasn't been made into a TV series, because I think it would be great.
I'm actually kind of shocked it hasn't.
I hate to say it, but I think it might be because the main character is not...
Handsome man,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, entirely possible. But there's space for other handsome mans.
Yeah. I really like Elena's growth. It's not even growth so much as she, like...
She
comes into her own. She gets to expand to who she was meant to be all this time. It's really good.
So what do we want to talk about Miles? Because you really love Miles as a character.
I guess the thing is, he's, like, all of my favourite tropes in one character. I love cocky characters. I just think they're fun. I love people who fake it till they make it, and I love characters who basically exist on terrible ideas and caffeine.
Yeah, he's definitely just bouncing from one impulsive, terrible idea that may save the day to the next.
I also really liked, so there's a space war, essentially, and it isn't a war. It's a space siege. In a lot of ways.
I mean, that's what a lot of wars are.
True. But the way that it works out is that just, like, through bluster, he manages to, and, like, people being wrong-headed, he manages to win. And I just really like that it's just all bullshit. I don't know. It just makes me happy.
I think he ends a many, many, many year-long blockade just through being bullheaded.
Visually, I feel like, if you imagine a bouncy ball that, like, accidentally writes pictures and
Yeah, that is a great description, actually. It's like when you send a bouncy ball flying and it accidentally cleans up your house.
He's got a crush on Elena.
Because of course he does.
Because she's amazing.
Yes, and also if you're a little, like, mini lord who grew up with your bodyguard's child throughout your life and...
Yeah, she treats you like a human being in a world that didn't really treat you like a human being very often.
It makes a lot of sense for him to have a crush on her.
His deserter also has a crush on Elena, and it seems like Elena feels the same way about him, which really makes Bathory mad.
Yeah, Bathory, because he is, like, a military man through and through, he doesn't think kindly of deserters.
Yeah, and look, I can see both sides of this argument. Having said that, I really like that Miles gets to save the day but doesn't get the girl in the end. I think that's a really nice inversion of the trope.
Yeah.
She's essentially like, I love you and you're wonderful, but if I was with you, I couldn't be my own person, and I really need that for myself. And I think that's actually a really good...
Because, like we were saying, so much of this is tropes turned on its head. It does kind of feel like anything could happen throughout a lot of this book. That is really hammered home where the hero doesn't get the girl.
Yeah, and I think it's really great. She wants to be a warrior, and she gets the chance to do that in this book, which I think is really important.
That's, like, definitely a really fun element, the way... Elena plays out and gets, like, a better reward than a boy.
Yeah, and she gets a boy and, like, self-fulfillment. That's great.
It's so good.
And I really like that Miles is minimally bitter about it, too.
Like, he's a little upset, but he's not a wanker.
No.
As we're sort of luring into spoiler territory, so throughout his various shenanigans, the big reward that Miles does get is he does get... to be, like, he gets brought back in and told off because running your own private military is definitely very illegal where he's from.
Yes, a bad idea if you don't want to be beheaded, I believe. Drawn and quartered.
Drawn and quartered, that's right. They're a big fan of the quartering.
Yes, I think it's quite funny. Again, it's one of those, like, weird cultural moments where someone's like, they draw you?
At one point, someone's like, quartered wouldn't be so bad. You'd just be stuck in your rooms. Yeah. And they're like, why is he scared of that? And Miles is like, no, we, as in we cut them into fours.
And the other person is like horrified.
Absolutely horrified. So he is in big trouble. But the solution ends up being, look, he is the son of someone who's fairly important, and to be honest, he's such a sneaky little bastard, it would probably be a lot of work to successfully punish him. So maybe we just give him
what he wants,
like, maybe we use this conniving bastard in our own military. Here you go, here's the cadetship.
There's a little bit of political shenanigans at the end. I really like that stuff, but I can see that it's not Bree's cup of tea.
I don't mind it. The political space shenanigans are minimal enough that they didn't bother me. I just sort of ignored them.
Spoilers again, and this is going to be a
content warning
because we're going to talk a little bit about sexual assault.
So there is this one mystery looming over is who Elena's mother is.
Yeah.
Because she's never known, and they try and, like, Miles being a conniving little shit breaks into his father's records and tries to look up, like, hyper secure records that he shouldn't be accessing to see if he can find out for her.
To be fair to Miles, his dad uses old passwords, so...
Okay, I guess. His dad should know better.
He's had Miles his whole life. He really should know better.
So, like, they go into this not knowing. There's just, like, a lot of sealed records, and they're just very confused as to what the hell's going on. And Elena gets fairly distressed by this in the beginning.
She had thought that her mother had died. That's the story that her dad had told her, that her mother was dead and that they weren't going to talk about it because it was too upsetting for him.
But it increasingly looks like maybe her mother was from an enemy combatant or something. Something funny was definitely there, and they're aware of that.
And from Miles' perspective, falling in love with an enemy combatant isn't particularly unusual. his dad did it, it worked out great. So that's not necessarily, like, the red flag that...
It is for Alina.
That it is for Alina.
As these, like, space shenanigans, the first sign that there's something up with her father is that he real good at torture.
Miles has a moment here where he says, and I think it's an interesting idea to think about because of what happens later, where he's like, whatever I order him to do is on me and not on Bathory.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know how I feel about that, but I definitely think that he deserves some portion of the blame.
Yeah, so there's a moment relatively early on where they need some information out of one of the people that they've captured, and the nice way isn't cutting it. And Miles watches what happens and is very horrified at how efficient a torturer his bodyguard is.
And he's watching it because he realizes that
it's his responsibility.
Bathory's character is so interesting to me because on the one hand, he's saved Miles' life multiple times, including a suicide attempt.
Yeah.
And so Miles has really strong...
Yeah, he's not a bad dude. At least initially.
Yeah. He's definitely a character who has done a lot of things in his life. And I don't know, like, if the good that he's done...
I think it's a very good case of, like, he is a compassionate carer for those who he loves.
Yes.
He is definitely not horrible or cruel in any way to Miles or even his daughter. But he is also a man who has lived and, like, breathed war for most of his life.
And that has made him cruel.
So this is sort of the first hint that there's definitely something under what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
And then it's not until much later when they encounter another ship of mercenaries that they find out more about Elena's mother and
how she's not dead.
How she's definitely not dead.
It's probably better to call her a bio mother than an actual mother, just because she has no interest in Elena, which makes sense because she was raped by Bathory, and it seems like he raped a lot of women as part of a war effort on the behalf of a long dead prince.
It sounds like one of the things that, like, the reason why he's so good at torture is that he was the torturer guy, and that also included sexual assault.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it was something that the people in charge honestly got off on and enjoyed. And it was
and watched,
and
I think.
Watched, and, like, it just becomes absolutely, like, it is, this book doesn't shy away from the horrors of that.
Yes.
So when Elaine's mother rocks up, who has the same name as her?
Yeah. She murders Bathory.
Straight away, immediately. And he doesn't actually fight it. He just lets that happen.
Yes.
Like, he is very aware that she has the right to respond and do what she does.
And I think he has felt a lot of guilt that he has not dealt with in a particularly good way this entire time.
Absolutely. And it definitely makes, like, his fixation on making sure Elena, everything she gets is, like, the proper way within society is definitely a reflection of that.
So it turns out that Elena was surgically taken from her mother very early on in the pregnancy. Like, they have non-birth, like, you don't have to give birth naturally in this world. They have, like, bio-uteruses, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is how Miles survived, actually. So he makes a joke that they're like, you know, they came from the same womb.
Miles is trying to diffuse this horror with as much humor as possible.
Which...
Not great.
Yeah, I love him though because he's very bad at social situations in a lot of ways.
Unless he's lying.
And so, like, I'm uncomfortable. Let me go to humor is a very understandable. Definitely something I do. Not that I associate, but, like, feel myself in this character at all.
Yeah, and I think like, definitely one of the themes throughout this book is who has the responsibility of the actions taken in war. Is it the officer who carries out the order, or is it the officer who gives the order? And I think this book refuses to give you a clear answer.
Which I think is good.
Which is ideal. Like, you can't give a clear answer on this. And I think it's nice that as much as this is a silly space romp, it definitely does have some, like, big themes that it, like, lets sit around in your head a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a remarkably sophisticated popcorn book.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
I think it's also really interesting that Miles talks to Elena's mother and is like, he thought about you all the time and tries to be like, you know...
He's actually a good guy.
Yeah, and yeah. She's like, no, that's bullshit. He was a monster. I don't enjoy the fact that he thought of me at all. I wish he'd, you know, died on the spot, basically.
Yeah, it's very much like a... the good actions he's done towards you does not erase the bad actions he's done.
Yeah, and, like, letting the victim of the crime tell her own story and be... the power behind what happens to the perpetrator is really good, and I really appreciated that.
Absolutely. And I think it's... because it also throws a bit of, like, a shadow over Miles's family and his father and so on, because it does sort of say that they are complacent in hiding a war criminal.
Yeah.
And, like, it's sort of... because they all knew.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting to have... to have all these characters who from the outside look holistically good also be tainted by their involvement.
Yeah.
It definitely feels like the reason behind the reform is these sort of actions that's taken in the past.
Yeah. What did you think of the book overall?
I think as much as it's not my genre, I definitely really enjoyed it. I love a con artist. I just do. I can't help that. And as much as I'm not a big fan of war stories, I am a big fan of complicated narratives about the fallout of war, if that makes any sense.
Yes. It takes place a military system, but it doesn't feel like a military story.
Because it's about the fun mercenaries and the con man trying to con his way across this globe. I overall really enjoyed it. I'm glad I read it, even though I wouldn't normally pick it up. So, thank you for that, Leah.
Well, no worries.
Yeah.
I really like this writer, and I think she has a lot of depth. And I think it goes to show that you can read what, and it's kind of like what we're talking about in this whole podcast, you can read books that are trash and have them still be really excellent reads and really kind of explore themes and interesting things that you wouldn't normally associate with trash books.
Yeah, I think the fact that it's a light popcorn read, and it is a really fast read, doesn't mean, like, that it is devoid of any depth or not worth talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did read them when I was really young, and so they had that nostalgia value for me as well. But I generally think they're very well-written books. And I think there's enough moral grey that it's not, like, hero story 101, which
it's very
I appreciate.
Nuanced, yeah. Definitely, like, yeah, it's definitely fun, it's a little tongue-in-cheek at times, like, I would definitely recommend this to someone who likes a fun sci-fi romp,
yeah,
for sure.
And even if you like, light fantasy, I feel like you could...
Oh, absolutely.
Cross the border for this book. Like, it's a good beginning sci-fi book if you're okay with the very 80s dated language.
Yeah, it's definitely... I mean, The Warrior's Apprentice is definitely a twist on The Sorcerer's Apprentice, and you can't tell me otherwise. Yeah, it's just... it's a fun book. Like, definitely recommend. Like, yeah, the language is about a bit dated, and you can tell it is written in the 80s, but, like... nostalgia's in.
Also, the cover is very dated, so we have like a... oh, when is this cover from?
Yeah, I can see a bit of Yellow Peril influencing the cover.
Yeah.
It's not great.
So this, yeah, it's a great... in fact, we'll take a photo of it and put it on the Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's definitely an old school cover, but... definitely fun, too. So, I don't know. If you like Star Wars, you'll like this.
Yeah. If you like Star Wars but really wish that Luke was less whiny and more full of shit.
I mean, I would argue that this guy is almost as whiny as Luke.
Really?
I think Luke gets unfair blame for being whiny.
That's the thing with Miles as well. He's a good kid. He's kind of a cocky bastard, but I love that in a character.
Yeah, he's fun. He's definitely a fun character to spend time with.
I'm going to give this 5 orgy pits out of 5.
Orgy pits, okay.
There were orgy pits.
I mean, look, you're fair. I think I'll probably give this probably a 4, 4.5. Like
4.5 orgy pits.
4.5 orgy pits from me.
So where can you find us?
So if you want to chat to us on Twitter, we're Bad Taste Book Pod on there. Tumblr, we're Bad Taste Book Club. Instagram, we're also Bad Taste Book Club. Yay! Or you can send us an email at badtastebookclub@gmail.com. Okay, bye!
Bye! Military kind of colonialist. A military world. Alina.